Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jocelyn Floyd, who is an attorney with Thomas More Society, and she's going to comment about a First Amendment case out of Nebraska, Nebraska High School. Jocelyn, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So I understand there's some sort of battle going on at a Nebraska high school. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have a couple of students at a high school in Gretna, Nebraska, which is just outside Omaha, and they're trying to start a pro-life club at the school. And the school has created what is essentially a two-tier classification for clubs. So every single club is considered a sponsored club and allowed to meet during the a specific longer homeroom period that they have designated for clubs, unless your club covers a topic that the school doesn't approve of, and then they'll let you meet on campus, but only before school at a time when most students are unable to actually get there to participate in your club. So the student we're working with is Bridget Christensen. She's a junior, and she's trying to get her club, Dragons for Life, to be part of the main group of clubs and permitted to meet during this long homeroom period. But the school so far has remained convinced that because the club is political, which it's not, because it's religious, which it's not, because it's controversial, which I'll give them that one, they can't allow it to meet in during the school day with the rest of the clubs. We've looked at the law, and we beg to differ.
Okay, give us an idea of some of the other clubs that are allowed with the school's blessings, if you will.
They have a gay-straight alliance. They have a chess club. They have a slam poetry club. They've got a service club, a quiz bowl, trap shooting. That's my favorite one. I've never seen a school before with trap shooting as a club.
Crap shooting or trap?
Trap shooting. So it's kind of like skeet shooting, but a little
bit. Oh, okay.
Different.
All right. I thought I was picturing these kids, you know, playing with dice. But all right, go on.
So they have a whole list of clubs, and all of these clubs are considered, quote-unquote, sponsored by the school.
Okay, so in the example of the Gay Straight Alliance or whatever it's called, that means that the school is saying, we approve of this. This is something we agree with. We affirm this.
Yes, so they say that their definition is that they permit clubs that are either serving a school purpose or complementing the school curriculum. So their argument to justify permitting the Gay-Straight Alliance to be a sponsored club is that it serves the purpose of preventing bullying. And that may be an absolutely legitimate school purpose, but when you're looking at what a school is allowed to do with regard to clubs, we look to equal access. So we look both at the First Amendment and to a federal statute called the Equal Access Act. And both of those say, if you have opened up a forum for students to have clubs, then you have to allow all clubs on an equal basis.
Right.
And what is considered a school purpose for it to be considered school-sponsored, as opposed to just school permitted in this club forum, is a very narrow definition, and it has to directly relate to the curriculum. So, for example, if you have a French class that you teach in the school and you have French club, the French club would be considered a school-sponsored, tied to the curriculum club. But the standard under the law says that all of these other ones that you've just tied somehow remotely to the school's purpose, like preventing bullying, or they have Future Business Leaders of America. Well, that offers students good preparation and skills that will complement and expand on what they're learning in their curriculum in their classes. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing to have those clubs, but it doesn't meet the legal standard of related to the curriculum.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the school then is clearly being discriminatory towards this pro-life club. But I've got a question for you. I feel like this is deja vu all over again, in the sense that I remember talking with you. In fact, it was one of our earliest interviews for this very format on Vocal Point, where I believe we were talking about the very same thing. Is this just a repeat, the same story, just a different school, a district, maybe even a different state?
Yes. I like to say it's the second verse, same as the first. We run into this with almost every school. Every time a high schooler tries to create a pro-life club, they tend to run into opposition from the school. And there are these main themes of opposition. Sometimes the school is concerned about the fact that it's controversial. Sometimes they're concerned that it looks like they are endorsing one side of the issue. Sometimes they're concerned about...
Well, wouldn't it be fair to say that they are endorsing one side of the issue, the pro-life side, as opposed to the pro-abortion rights side? I mean, that would be fair to say, no?
The legal standard is that when the school allows the clubs in, they have to allow them in without regard to the content. And so they can't say, no, you're not allowed to come in because you're talking about abortion and that is a political or controversial issue. But the same arguments that we use to say that you have to permit a pro-life club would also permit a pro-choice or a pro-abortion club. The point is that these are student-led clubs. The speech belongs to the students, and the students should be given equal access to this forum that the school has opened, this forum of school clubs, to be able to express their speech, their viewpoint, their opinion on these things. And we are not trying to say that the school would have to ban a pro-choice club. We're saying that when the students have a message that they want to share with their fellow students, the school does not get to censor it simply because the school doesn't like or disagrees with the message.
Okay, now about 20 to 25 years ago, no, I guess it would be 25 years ago, there was a young high school student then at the time, Bridget Mergens, who filed a suit on behalf of a Christian club. And if I'm not mistaken, it was also in the state of Nebraska. And that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. D. James Kennedy helped support that and help... you know, with that, and I believe Jay Sekulow even argued the case before the Supreme Court, and they won. The good side won, and it was called Mergens versus Westside High School. That's the equal access Supreme Court ruling. That would certainly have bearing on this case, I would think.
Yeah, that is the main case that we cite to when we discuss these issues, when we send these letters to school districts, because that case was a question of what does the Equal Access Act protect? How do we interpret these terms, and what does curriculum-related mean? And that's where the Supreme Court said, this is a very narrow category, and they defined it. So examples from that case include, if you teach PE and you have a scuba diving club, the scuba diving club, simply because it's physical exercise, is not curriculum related unless one of your PE classes is a scuba diving class. They said chess club, stamp collecting, community service clubs, none of these count as curriculum related. And that is the line that we use when we're looking at these school clubs to determine whether the school has in fact opened the forum.
Okay, so
once
let me ask you this.
The forum, they have to allow the club. But we look to that first to figure out, did they open the forum?
And by the way, liberal Sandra Day O'Connor, or quasi-liberal, she was, if I'm not mistaken, the one who even wrote the decision. So that was one that she did get right, and I'm glad for that. But here's my big question. Wasn't Westside High School in Nebraska?
It was in Nebraska. It's not in the town of
right.
Gretna or their school district, but it is in Nebraska. Yeah, so...
Something wrong out there?
They have some memory of this happening in their own state.
Yeah. I mean, it went all the way
and
to the court.
The thing is that case had to do with a Christian club, and the Equal Access Act is designed to protect all types of speech, but it was specifically enacted because schools had been rejecting Christian clubs by saying that this would be an establishment of religion, we can't allow your club to meet here, or we will be violating the First Amendment. And the courts at the time agreed with the schools. So Congress passed the Equal Access Act to say, regardless of whether they have a First Amendment right, which we believe they do, and later cases since then we think further support that argument. They do have a First Amendment right. But we also are giving them a statutory right that says, based on this statute, if you take federal money and you open up this forum, then you cannot reject clubs based on their content, whether that content is political, philosophical, religious, or anything else. So the whole point was to ensure that Christian students, or in fact, any religious student, could create a religious club on campus, the same, according to the same standards as every other club. This doesn't give preference, it just opens the door for equal access. And so the whole point of the Mergens case was to put it to the test with the Christian club, and the Supreme Court got it right and said, yes, under this statute, the Christian club has just as much right to be part of this. And yet we still see repeatedly in every single one of these pro-life club situations we've had where the school says separation of church and state means we can't allow your club. And it's ironic in two ways. Number one, the main Supreme Court case says you have to allow the religious club. That's what the statute says, and the statute's correct. And the statute does not violate the Constitution. And number two, these pro-life clubs are not actually religious clubs. They're intentionally framed and designed as secular clubs. They look at medicine, they look at biology, they look at supporting pregnancy resource centers. They're trying to create a space to open up the discussion on the topic of life and abortion and dignity and end of life with their fellow students that is accessible and open to all students and not solely from the religious perspective.
So what do they actually do with these Students for Life clubs? And by the way, how many such clubs are there? Are they all around the country or something?
Yes, Students for Life of America has high school clubs and college clubs. I don't know what the total numbers are right now, but I know they have more than 300 high school clubs across the country. And the clubs do a variety of things. Sometimes they meet and discuss internally. Sometimes they'll bring in speakers. Sometimes they'll do fundraising drives to support local pregnancy resource centers. Each club is its own club. They are not... it's not like National Honor Society where you are part of a national organization. Students for Life of America is a resource that is national, that all of these clubs can reach out to the resource for ideas and for support. But each club is an individual club that directs its own makeup, and they focus on what the issues are that they're members care about, that are pertinent to their school, that matter in their particular community. So each one does slightly different things.
Okay, so how did this particular case start? Here you have this junior at Gretna High School in Nebraska, and her name is Bridget Christensen. By the way, that's interesting because the Mergens case, that was Bridget Mergens. But anyway,
right.
So she just asked the school, hey, I'd like to start a Students for Life. And they said, oh, nope, sorry, can't do it. We just, you know, won't allow that. That's illegal. Or what happened? And how did she find you?
Well, the club was actually started last year by another student who graduated. And she, at the time, decided that in the interest of being able to achieve something before she graduated, would go ahead and accept that limitation on meeting time because she was still able to get the message out to her students. But the problem is that the meeting is before school, and that becomes an issue for students who are taking the bus. They can't get there early. Students who are in the band have band practice before school, so when they have a meeting, Bridget, one of the presidents this year, is also in the band. So she has to get a special exemption to be able to miss band practice, to go lead the meeting of her own club. And she has many fellow band members who want to be part of the club and can't come to the meetings because they have band practice.
Yeah, so you said in this quote, she felt like she was a second-class citizen. That's the way she was treated by the school. ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Jocelyn, for being with us. Jocelyn Floyd from Thomas More Society. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.